Hello and welcome to On the Line. I'm Carl Richter. This week's episode focuses on this year's race for mayor in Texarkana, Texas. Mayor Bob Brueggemann is seeking a fifth consecutive term in office. Former city council member Brian Matthews is challenging him for the seat. For this forum, we provided both candidates the same seven questions in advance and asked them to limit their responses to 2 minutes each. Both candidates also had the opportunity to make a 2-minute closing statement. They were interviewed separately and their responses were edited together, question by question. The responses themselves have not been altered. We gave the incumbent, Mayor Brueggemann, the first word, and the challenger, Dr. Matthews, the last. Early voting begins October 18th, and Election Day is November 2nd. As always, the Texarkana Gazette will provide complete coverage of the race and the results. Our candidates' forum will begin after this break. All the latest news and more is always right at hand with the Texarkana Gazette mobile app. Updates and breaking news alerts throughout the day keep you up to speed on everything happening in Texarkana and beyond. There's even a daily digital replica of our print edition. All the features you love, like puzzles and our special sections, are right there. It's like having the whole paper in your pocket or purse. Best of all, it's free to download. Look for the Texarkana Gazette app in Google Play or the Apple App Store today. Okay, the first question is, why do you want to be mayor?
Well, I'm, first of all, a lifelong resident of Texarkana, Texas, born and raised here. Texarkana is my home. By serving as mayor, it gives me the opportunity to give back to the community. I think it's very important that as citizens we give back to the community, and we can do that in various ways. And I've certainly enjoyed serving in city government for the past 16 years, seven as member of the council, and then 9 years as mayor. And so I find it to be very rewarding. And I enjoy doing it. So I would also say that, like I said, in addition to giving back to the community, I feel like I've got a good record as mayor based on the time I've been in office.
That is a great question, and thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of this interview. Typically, when people ask me why do I want to run for mayor, I think the expectation is one of a very prolific and profound answer. But the main reason why I want to run for mayor, and I've shared this with multiple people in groups, is that I just love people, love public service. And it's just as simple as that. I know it may sound contrite. I know politically it seems like the appropriate and the sensible answer. But it's a matter of being able to serve people with the gifts that I've been bestowed. Understanding those gifts, I know how to properly contribute to society, being able to, you know, listen therapeutically and empathetically, to conscientiously assemble thoughts and being able to respond properly. Serving on city council from 2012 to 2017, I learned a great deal about our city. More importantly, I learned how considerate, compassionate, and ambitious citizens are in our city. And how those that are not necessarily involved in city government, how they still want to get involved, how they still want to volunteer, how they still want to be actively contributory in their communities. So the main reason why I want to run for mayor is the citizens of Texarkana, Texas.
Okay, next question. What will be your top priorities if you are elected?
top priorities would be to continue to work on the major projects that we currently have underway or projects that will soon be underway. And to give you an idea of some of those projects, the new airport terminal, which is very, very important, the Hotel Grimm project, which will be coming to completion hopefully in the next few months. The Hotel Grimm project is going to serve as a major anchor for further downtown development. A lot of good things are taking place downtown. And when I drive through the downtown area on Friday evenings or Saturday afternoons and Saturday evenings, I'm amazed at the amount of activity that's taking place. A lot of cars are parked on Broad Street. People are attending various activities, and there are more venues taking place downtown. So the Hotel Grimm project is going to be a huge anchor for that. We also have currently the widening of Interstate 30 from four lanes to six lanes from Nash to the state line. So we're seeing more traffic flow coming through our community. The Gibson Lane extension will complement the construction that's taking place for the new Wadley Regional Medical Center at the west end of town. That will connect University Avenue over to Pleasant Grove Road. And from there, it's connected all the way to Kings Highway. So another very good east-west corridor that we have in our city. Plans are for a new water treatment plant. That's a $200 million project that will serve Texarkana as well as our neighboring communities in northeast Texas. That's going to be a major project. And so a lot of good things taking place, and also we'll work to continue with open communication with our citizens and to continue to work on efficiencies within the city as well.
Top priorities. There are four that I want to treat with equal investment, equal intensity, and equal time. The first being city and community partnerships. The second is community revitalization and outreach efforts. The third is economic development and youth development. And the fourth is open and responsible leadership.
What changes are most needed in city government?
Well, I think we need to continue to have open communication among the citizens and the council and the mayor's role in the city. There are various ways of doing that. Citizens can become involved by attending city council meetings to learn more about what's going on in the city. Access to the city's website is another venue. Also, citizens staying in contact with their respective council member or me as the mayor. And that can be done by in-person visits. That can be done by email. That can be done by telephone. A variety of ways that can be done. So I think that we also need to always be focused on continuing the efficiencies within the city. If there are ways of maybe realigning duties or realigning departments, that will provide efficiencies to the city staff as well as to our citizens, and also in many instances may provide cost savings. And so I think that we need to always be mindful of efficiencies, and we've done quite a bit of that over the years at the city. Even more recently, there have been some examples of efficiencies that have taken place to provide better service to our citizens and at the same time allow our city government to be more efficient.
Well, I think that's a multi-dimensional question as it relates to, I guess, some more topical and superficial change, maybe one that needs to be recalibrated some. I think there's just an inherent distrust of government, period, and universally. I think there are genuine rhetoric and mantras that those that will be designated or compartmentalized as politicians do have. But I think it's a matter of providing evidence so trust can be restored, so trust can be renewed with citizens. I think the symptomatic consequence of that is that people feel like their voices are not heard, that their contributions don't matter, that any input and ideas that they do have as sensible and calculative as they are not going to be considered. They're not going to be used. So therefore, there's this degree of empathy and indifference that citizens experience because they think government is dismissive of their thoughts, their contributions, And so therefore they feel, you know, this animosity toward government. So therefore their behavior is going to align with what their attitudes are. So I think finding a way to instrumentally increase the level of confidence in our voters. And then also I think it's following through, you know, so whatever we as the city say that we're going to do, you know, find ourselves doing that, being responsive, being open, and being transparent.
If elected, what would you do to develop the local economy?
Well, currently our barometer that we use to see how well our local economy is doing is the sales tax revenue. There's a two-month lag, so when we receive the report, it's reflective of the previous 2 months back. And so we look at the current 2 months back and take that month and compare it to the same month in the previous year. We also do a year-to-date analysis to see how well our sales tax revenue is doing. Historically, if we noted an increase of maybe, let's say, 3 to 5% increase for a particular month this year compared to the same month last year, that's a pretty strong local economy. When we look at our current August figures, comparing August of 2021 to August of 2020, our sales tax revenue is up 12.02%. That is a tremendous increase. Year to date, our sales tax revenue is up 15.60%. And so what that tells us is that our local economy is very, very strong based on our sales tax revenue. Another thing that's important is to continue our work with RTEX Ready. Ready stands for Regional Economic Development Incorporated. This is an organization that I serve on as the mayor. I serve on the board. This is a group that was comprised of local citizens within our community who put forth their own personal resources for this organization. Rob Sitterly heads up this organization, and so we currently have with Ready a large parcel of land that's cleared and ready to go in Arkansas, which is near the Mandeville area, as well as a tract of land on the Texas side on Interstate 30 between Hooks and New Boston. And so we're poised for future growth and future business development and industry in our community. And we have various things that we have that complement that, such as our workforce development programs through our college and university. And so we're very, very poised for future economic growth in our community.
Interesting question. We do have local entities like the Chamber of Commerce, like Texas Americas, like the Ready Group, that within their own functionality, they focus on, you know, the centrality of economic development and elevating the image of Texarkana, Texas. So we are an attractive location and area for businesses to come, you know, on multiple levels. But one of the things I want to do as mayor is step outside of the box and not solely rely on those entities, you know, as they do have an important function in our city, because people have made considerable contributions, whether it be financially or they've invested their time in cultivating, you know, this economic engine. But outside of a prescriptive role of what the mayor does, you know, I want to intentionally and purposefully, you know, reach out to businesses, not only businesses outside of Texarkana, but then also meet with business owners here, not just those that are a part of the Chamber of Commerce board, those that are part of the Ready board, those that are part of Tex Americas, but those business owners that are not typically visited on a regular basis, those whom are not intentionally solicited for ideas, those that are not necessarily invited to have input at tables. And not that it's, you know, consciously done. I think just over time you unconsciously overlook accidentally and inadvertently, you know, businesses that really matter, you know, those businesses that need just as much assistance as, you know, businesses that erect businesses in the area. So that's, you know, one of many ways that I would, you know, be a part of, you know, the economic trajectory of our city. And it's getting and inviting businesses to the table that have not been typically invited before.
How satisfied are you with the city's budget priorities?
I think that our city staff and our citizens who comprise the Budget Advisory Committee have done a great job in prioritizing our budget. To go a little bit in detail, each council member selects someone to serve on this committee, and then I, as the mayor, also serve someone to serve on this committee. And so what they do during the summer months, since our fiscal year at the city begins on October 1 each year, is they have a series of meetings with the staff as far as how much budget funding is going to be available, taking projects and areas and prioritizing of that. Then there's also a workshop that's held with the city council to brief the council on what they've come up with, allows the council to ask questions or to gain further input. And so the process that we have in place for our budget with the Budget Advisory Committee in conjunction with the city staff, in conjunction with the city council, in my opinion, has been extremely effective. And this organization has been in place now for several years, and it just allows our Business Advisory Committee to look at the city kind of as a business. A government entity, in some respects, is different from a business. It's more rigid. It's more structured. And the Budget Advisory Committee kind of brings forth a business mindset that I think complements our local city and our local city government. So I've been very pleased with the budget's priorities and where the areas where we're spending funds and how those funds are being utilized, I think, is going great.
When I served on city council, great question. I was fairly satisfied, you know, with the way monies, you know, were expended and were distributed. Now I know outside of that, and it's solely based on perspective and perception, there are some citizens that are under the impression that more money is spent in other areas than they are in areas that they perceived need the money the most. And so as far as the budget process with the city, we've always had a balanced budget, so that's not the issue. It's a matter of what is the perception of citizens as it relates to the monies that they are contributing via, their sales tax dollars to the operation of the city. There may be legitimate reasons why monies are being spent in certain areas as opposed to other areas, but we also have to understand that perception is reality, and actually finding out not just the what and the how, but why. You know, why do citizens feel like certain monies that should be spent in a Ward 2 or so Rose Hill Beverly area is all being expended and dispensed in Wards 5 and 6, when it may just be the natural and organic evolution of business. So when you see businesses gravitating to those areas, then realistically, monies are probably going to flow that direction. But then as it relates to tearing down dilapidated homes, then monies are being contributed in those areas. Now, it may not be areas that affect the majority of citizens in Ward 2. So, therefore, where you have some citizens that are benefiting just because of proximity, then there may be others that feel as though those monies are not being allotted and appropriated for whatever their needs are. So I think as far as the budgetary process, satisfied with that. But that doesn't mean that additional conversations can't take place to determine what other ways that are more constructive in which money can be spent.
Would you do anything new or different to prepare the city for emergencies such as the pandemic and this year's winter storm?
Well, there are three key emergencies that we had at the city over a period of 12 months. Those, of course, as you mentioned, the pandemic, COVID-19, the winter storm, and then also the third one would be our cyber attack that we had in December of 2020. When we knew that COVID was coming to Texarkana, we knew it was in the area, we set up what is called an Emergency Operations Center. This is an organization that was originally formed with several local entities. Currently is comprised with the city as well as with Bowie County. The Emergency Operations Center is still in operation, and this served as a way for us to track what was going on in our community with COVID. We were able to track the cases, who the patients had been in close contact with, so that we would have a better feel on how this virus was spreading. And so we have that entity still in place, and so I think that was a very proactive approach. And more recently, the infusion center that we have out in the Nash Industrial Park complements for the health and safety of our citizens. The winter storm was something that was of historical magnitude. We knew that this was a very major storm that was coming. We had to make sure that we had our resources and materials in place beforehand as far as being able to get roads cleared with sand and other means. And also, we have to keep a very, very close eye on our water system. And so I was on several conference calls dealing with water to making sure that our water was still available to our citizens, that we had a multitude of breaks in that. The cyber attack was one that really kind of caught us off guard, and this was kind of a three-for-one because it affected not only the city, but the city of Texarkana, Arkansas, as well as Bowie County, because these three entities share servers. And so we have more safeguards that have been put in place since that occurred, and it's going to take a significant period of time to fully recover from that. So being proactive and prepared, I think, are very important both now and in the future.
That is an excellent question, and so I've been waiting on someone to ask me that. As it relates to COVID-19, obviously we know, you know, the ramifications of the virus, so that goes without saying. But I think one of the elements that was missing and that was very anemic is the level of communication. And as it relates to developing and curating a verifiable source of information, you know, where citizens felt comfortable that the information had been, you know, peer-reviewed and probably peer-reviewed in this case, you know, would have, you know, been a derivative of healthcare professionals because they're the experts in this particular case. You know, ensuring that citizens had, you know, an archive that they can actually go to get up-to-date information. Obviously, as it relates to the pandemic, you know, the truth about the pandemic changes, you know, from day to day. So it's similar to technology, you know, what was, you know, relevant, you know, one day maybe obsolete next week. I mean, so I think it's a matter of properly handling and communicating up to date truth and realistic truth. So I think as well, I know as mayor, I will be more communicative. I think that communication was actually lacking before, and citizens were looking at other siloed sources for information and deriving their truth from there. So I think more communication. And I think there has to be an intentionality of communicating as it relates to, you know, the winter storm. There was no source of information. So citizens were in a disjointed manner trying to find, you know, curated information, you know, where they can find out where there were proper resources, what stores were open, hours of operation and things of that nature. And so I think we do need to have a plan in place. My grandmother used to always tell me it's better to have it and don't need it than to need it and don't have it. So I think we need to be more proactive in instances like that and not reactive, so that way when situations come, then we'll have a better response for it.
What can the mayor do to improve the relationship between residents and city government?
I think it's important for the mayor to be very accessible to the citizens, and I'm certainly very accessible. If a citizen contacts me, I am very quick to respond to their request. It may involve something that I need assistance from the city staff with as far as addressing a concern or an issue that they have. And so I think that we also, as mayor, I need to be in close contact with our business community. I think a great idea would be to have a seminar or maybe perhaps a town hall meeting where we invite our business community in to see if there's some things at the city that we might be able to do better or do more efficiently, or maybe some things that we're overlooking. And so I think by gaining input from the business community, that will continue our success with the city. But I would say, you know, the key thing would be to once again, to be accessible to the citizens when they have a concern or when they have a need or when they need more information.
Well, I think for starters, answering tough questions without equivocating, without skirting around issues, and just address them boldly and courageously. I think people are more apt to follow when there's a degree of transparency, when they don't feel as though, and we talked about the question earlier as far as distrust in government, when they feel like politicians are not giving political answers. And it's okay not to know, to go back and investigate, diagnose the situation, and then get back with the citizen. So again, you know, we talk about follow through. And so I think being able to answer tough questions, being able to debate in a very constructive manner, because everybody has different perspectives. So there may be a perspective that a citizen has that I don't have, but that's not to say that I'm right and they're wrong or vice versa. So it's a matter of, you know, having a very constructive, rational, lucid conversation that entails, you know, strong arguments. And then we can come to a amicable resolve. That's a win-win not only for the city, but then also a win for the citizen. But it's also being available to answer those tough questions, knowing that crises don't happen between 8 and 5. So always being accessible for citizens. And again, providing responses that are supported, that are corroborated, and that are verified, so that way the citizen leaves the conversation knowing that there was a purposeful intent to answer the question, and that the mayor followed the loop in ensuring that an answer was provided.
And finally, if you'd just like to make a closing statement, whatever you'd like to say.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd like to say that I have been involved in city government now for 16 years. I went on the city council back in 2005. I have served the last 9 years as mayor. It's been a very rewarding thing for me to do. We have several major projects that are running concurrently at this time. I don't recall there being this many projects of this magnitude since I've been in city government that are running concurrent. So I would certainly like to have the opportunity to see those projects through completion, because I have been on the ground floor when these projects originally developed and became available. And so I think it's important in the interest of our citizens to make sure that these projects are finished in an efficient manner and to the satisfaction of our citizens. Also, more recently, the property tax rate. We lowered the property tax rate at the city for the first time in 20 years. And so this will provide savings to our taxpayers. I think that that's very important. As I mentioned a little while ago, our sales tax revenue is very, very strong. That serves as an economic barometer on how our community is doing. So I'm very pleased with what's going on with sales tax. I feel like our city is providing a superior customer service to our citizens, and that if the citizen has a need or has a question, we do respond quickly to that. We have an outstanding police department. We have an outstanding fire department, public works, all working day in and day out to protect and to serve our citizens. And so I'm just very, very pleased right now at the situation that we're currently in with our city. Great relationship with our sister city, Texarkana, Arkansas. Great relationship with both Bowie County and Miller County. And so I think that by building a strong cooperative relationship, we can get so much more done sooner working with a cooperative spirit. And I just want to thank you, Carl, for the opportunity to come in and share my views and to answer your questions. And once again, I want to thank you for the opportunity very much.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of what I've heard from citizens, and, you know, I learned by doing. You know, I teach my students that I'm a professor at A&M Texarkana. And so, you know, we talk about operant learning. We talk about vicarious learning. And so I learn by listening and by listening to citizens. And by listening to reoccurring and repetitive themes, several citizens, you know, from all walks of life, and we have a diverse group of citizens here, have expressed that it's time for change. It's time for us to do something different, and not to disrespect what has led us to this point. But I think we're at an impasse now where we can seek more realistic and attainable opportunities. But I think what should occur is a leader that can help us transition into that next dimension. And so with me running, it is a representation of, you know, innovative, inventive, you know, calculative, entrepreneurial, and ambitious change. I know people are fearful of change, but I think when it's done in a more manageable, appropriate, conscientious, and meticulous way, change can be phenomenal. And I know with the melting pot of our city, I mean, with our population expanding and becoming more diverse, then I think I think the ability of a leader should also be diverse as well, should also be broad, should be expansive, to be able to focus on the importance of people. And then when people understand what their purpose is relative to whatever their unique experiences are, then our city, will continue to progress. So my plan is to build a brighter future for this city, and I'm dedicated to that.
On the Line is a Texarkana Gazette podcast recorded in Star Bear Studio, right here in downtown Texarkana, USA. The show was written, produced, and edited by Carl Richter. News stories are based on Gazette staff reports. Texarkana Gazette podcasts are made possible in part by a grant from the Google News Initiative Journalism Emergency Relief Fund. I'll see you next week on The Line.